Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And I always say this, I know I shouldn't have to keep saying it, but if you're just a brand new listener to the show, this show is about your sex and your happiness. And that's why I do it. But of course, I grow in the process of it. So it's about my sex and my happiness, too. And today is no exception. Today, we're going to be talking about a very important topic, which people tend to, we're going to expand on it. People tend to get it kind of wrong. I don't mean wrong so much, but I feel like people are, with gender bending and with shape shifting these days, people are so freaked out about this thing called the masculine and the feminine. And today my guests and I are going to talk about what we mean by the sacred masculine, the sacred feminine. And everyone has that. I don't care what you're choosing to identify with, like what your sexual preferences are or your gender preferences. You have masculine and feminine inside you. And if you don't want to listen to this, that's okay too. That's like really all right. That's my caveat today. So let me introduce Lance Cole. Lance is a person who's been studying Tantra for about 10 years. I met Lance here in Phoenix, Arizona. We were doing a panel here, which you've heard before. It was a panel that had Monique Darling and Eugene Hedlund and a few other people and myself. Oh, I think Reed Mihalko. And Lance was here. He was doing photography for it, and he introduced himself to me. And we've just had a mutual admiration society ever since. And Lance has been studying with me as my apprentice for the past couple years. And now he's teaching my bliss classes. He's teaching his own stuff, like what is Tantra? And he's going to be creating and doing more things. He's also part of the Just Add Skill for Men program that you just heard about in two previous shows. So this is my first guest. You're my first guest of 2018. So I'm excited that we're starting with a controversial topic. Welcome to the show, Lance.
Thank you, Lori. It's a pleasure to be here.
Was there anything I left out that I didn't say about you in terms of your introduction? Was there something that I should have said?
I did a pretty good job.
Okay.
I've been studying Tantra for 10 years, and I got my start in energy work and working with people. And I was a relationship coach. I am a relationship coach. That's what I would add.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. So, by the way, Lance is sitting right here with me. I don't always get to do these live. Sometimes I Skype in with someone, but he's here with me, and it's the holidays, and we're going to have a holiday dinner after. So, and I don't even celebrate, but it's circumstantial.
We're celebrating today.
Yeah. So anyway, Lance, how did you get started being interested in Tantra? Let's start with that, because a lot of times people want to know the background. You know, you didn't grow up, your parents didn't say, oh, when you grow up, you're going to be a Tantra guy.
No, they did not. No, far from it. How did I get my start? I got invited to go to the Sedona Temple back 10 years ago or so, a little bit more than that, actually. And that was my first experience into Tantra, into what it was. And we did some breathwork sessions, and we just did some general counseling, and I learned a few of the different tools that Tantra uses. That were very unfamiliar to me at the time. And, you know, now they're like second nature in daily practices or weekly practices.
Yeah.
And that's where I got my start.
So it wasn't a conference. You didn't go to the Sedona conference. You actually went to the temple.
Yeah.
Baba Dez was there.
Yeah. I actually spent time with Dez and a couple other teachers that were there at the time.
That's great.
Yeah.
Really great. How fortunate that you were in Arizona.
Yes. Very fortunate back then. It was a beautiful space.
Yeah. And those temples are closed now. The Sedona Temple and the Phoenix Temple. So we don't have that anymore. We have my little tantra room and your little tantra room. And it's like that. So good. So that's how you got interested. And then you kept the interest, which is great. Some people just go for a tantra session or they come to one class and then they just go, because that was nice.
Yeah. It blew my mind. It totally blew my mind. I was there for about a half a day, maybe 4 or 5 hours. And in that 4 or 5 hours, I somehow got some of my voice back.
Mm.
I was led through some different, session work or, just guided kind of energy release work and things like that, and introduced to it. And it kind of exploded out of me. My voice exploded out of me.
Now, how did you lose your voice in the first place? I mean, because if someone's listening and they don't know you, they're like, what do you mean you found your voice? What does it mean?
What does that mean? I would have to go into background for that. My background upbringing is Protestant Christian. And as I'm imagining most of your listeners know, when you're in that kind of dogmatic space or that religious space, you get taught that things are not okay.
Right.
Things, talking about sex is not okay. Talking about feelings is not okay. And moving into, and being a man in the world, it's not okay to have feelings. It's not okay to do this. And, you have to be this certain way in the world. And so
this is good. This is a really good intro to what we're going to talk about, because being a man in the role man in the world is not what we mean by masculine feminine. So
exactly.
So this is good that we went there. Yeah. Great. So your introduction was good. It was very hands-on, very practical, very, by invitation. Yeah. And you took it up, and then you took it up for your life.
I did.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. Okay. So see, everybody, it's not too late for you. If you're just listening to the show and this is your first introduction to Tantra, we'll define it here. And it's never too late. It's really never too late. Whenever this is your invitation. This is your invitation to check out the rest of the shows that I've done, to check out the work we're doing. Lance and I are doing work together, as are myself and many of the guests who've been on the show, including Des.
Mm-hmm.
So we could define Tantra as breath, sound, and movement. It's really nothing more than that. And it has like a more fancier definition, which is expansion through awareness. And I think that's exactly what Lance just described. Like, he went there and he expanded, like, his awareness. His mind was blown.
Yeah, my mind was blown. And it definitely expanded into that space. And one of the beautiful things, just from working with you, Lori, that I've discovered is that, and everything that I've been through in studying Tantra and working with Tantra has brought this really forward for me, is that everything in Tantra is self-referent.
Right.
So I realized in that, in reflection back to that first experience, that it was about me. Like, it was about my experience in life. And I was choosing how my life was going to be. And I was choosing what I was holding on to, and what I was choosing how I was carrying myself in the world.
That's so great, because before you had a dogma that was telling you how to be.
Right.
And most of us grow up with a dogma telling us how to be.
Yes.
And that, I mean, I guess that's how most of the world runs, but some of us are lucky enough to get off that grid and go in a different direction and say, no, I'm going to create my life for myself. And that's what you did. And that's what I did. So it's really cool. Somebody was writing to me on Facebook, a young man, I don't know, somewhere in the Eastern Europe, I guess. And he said, I'm afraid to do what I want. He said, I'm only 26. And I'm afraid to do what I want. And I said to him, age has nothing to do with it. Just do what you want.
Right.
And he was like, well, what did you do? Were you in an unhappy marriage? Were you this? Were you that? And I said, no, I never did those things. I only did what I wanted to do. I said, even though I had to really pay heavily for it. because there was so much resistance in my world to doing what I wanted to do, and you know, no approval.
Right.
But I guess my spirit was strong enough to just withhold yeah. and withstand the torrents that came towards me. So yeah. good for you.
Yeah.
Well, let's go into our topic a little bit.
Sure.
And let's define what we mean, because some people are, I'm afraid that some people already got turned off. Like they went, oh, masculine and feminine. I don't want to talk about that. That's like binary.
Right. The duality.
Yeah. So what do we mean, Lance? You know, you're starting to offer some masculine, feminine stuff within the context of the Just Add Skill course. And so
yes.
what do we mean by, let's start with the feminine, okay? Like, what is the feminine? We're not talking about women, right? We're talking about the feminine. So how do we define that?
Well, I want to back up a
okay.
little bit. I want to kind of just engulf both of them.
Okay.
And I want to say that the masculine and feminine are part of a group of archetypes. So an archetype is something in psychology that is defined as an essence or a feeling in the body or a feeling that or an experience that you're going through.
Oh, nice.
So it's not about man and woman. It's about masculine, feminine as an idea or a feeling within yourself or within the world external around you. That's kind of how I want to frame it.
That's a great frame. Thank you.
It makes it a little easier to grasp. It's still, there's still in society, I know the tag of woman, man as feminine and masculine, but that's not the case for how I would like to discuss it today.
Good. And that's also breaking down anyway.
Right.
In the current millennial situation, people are questioning that and they're saying, I don't have to be that.
No.
I don't have to be that which has been handed to me. So it's good that we're talking about the archetypes and how you defined it. Actually, you know, I think we're going to take a short break here. And when we come back, then we'll delve into like what we mean when we talk about it and why it's important to talk about it, even if you don't want to identify in a binary way, meaning in a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to choose to be masculine. I'm going to choose to be feminine. Maybe we're going to talk about how you can be free of what the culture is labeled and then choose to pick and choose for yourself what you want out of them. So,
sure. Okay.
All right. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm interviewing Lance Cole, who just happened to be invited to Tantra 10 years ago and his life changed. And so that can happen to you. Those of you who are listening, and hopefully this show makes some change in your life anyway. So when we return, we're going to delve into the archetypes of masculine and feminine. Stay tuned. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra is safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life? get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
I want to talk to you about the craziest and most inventive sex toy or sex enhancement that I've come upon in a long time. It's called Love Rider, L-U-V-R-Y-D-R. That's L-U-V-R-Y-D-R, Love Rider. So I know the couple that invented it. They never intended to invent it. They stumbled upon it. And isn't that how most things go in life? The subtitle to Love Rider is Grab the Bar and Ride Your Lover Wild. And I want to tell you that I've had multiple experiences with Love Rider. I've taken it all around the world and I've had lovers experience it. I've given it to them overnight and told them to come back and tell me their experience with it. And every one of them comes back with a raving report. It's a harness that the person receiving puts around their shoulders, either forwards or backwards, whatever. It depends on what position you want to use the Love Rider in. And the person who's giving, the penetrator, takes the handlebar like they're riding a horse and they lean back and they get amazing angles of penetration from using this device. It's hard to describe, but I want to encourage you to go there and look it up. Listen, my lover gave it a 5.5 stars out of 5. That's all I got to say. So go to loverider.com and look for this beautiful invention, and you can use my name if you call them, or you can use my code Butterfly Workshops, letting them know that you heard about Love Rider through me. That's loverider.com, L-U-V-R-Y-D-R. We're back with Sex and Happiness. I'm Lori Handlers. I'm interviewing Lance Cole. Lance is right here with me in my studio in Phoenix, Arizona. He's been teaching now Tantra for a while. He's actually teaching some of my courses. He's teaching some of his own courses. And now we collaborate. So here we are, and this is our first show of the new year. So we're going right into the heart of some issues that people don't like.
That's very true. It's a challenging discussion, this one about masculine and feminine.
It is. Yeah. So where should we start?
Well, leading out of the archetype piece, I'll speak about me.
Okay.
And my experience with it. I think that's the simplest way for me to talk about it. There's a place where when I was studying Tantra and I was moving through it, that I wanted to try different things. So I wanted to see what it was like, because I started hearing all these terms and all these ways of describing who I was or who people are. And we have all these, what I'm going to call human definitions of how things are and how they need to be in the world. And masculine, feminine were two of those things. And, you know, I grew up, I was a construction worker. My dad was a construction worker. I was like the man's man, you know, drinking beer, carrying wood and building houses and all this stuff. And just being that. And I never got any training in and around what I'm going to call some of the more feminine archetypal aspects of emotion and feeling in my body. It's like if I fell down and got hurt, or if I hurt myself, I wasn't allowed to be with that experience. It was always get up, shake it off.
And be a man.
Be a man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that be a man thing. And that doesn't work. It doesn't work for me in this world. And I see a lot of men out there and that have that same experience, but they don't know that they're necessarily having that experience. So they're out there being men. And there's this whole other part of being what I'm going to say a human being that they're missing out on.
Mm.
And because we're human, we need to categorize things and we need to file it a certain way. So we're going to call that part that they're missing out on the feminine. And it's an archetype.
The feminine within themselves, not a woman in their life.
Right.
Be really clear.
Got to be really clear. This isn't about man, woman. This isn't about a woman inside of you. This is about emotion, emoting, and expression.
And intuition.
And intuition. And feeling who you are and how you want to be in the world instead of cutting it off. I was taught to cut it off. Be a man. That's what be a man meant. That's what it felt like to
me. Yeah, you're a big boy now. Don't cry.
Right. Don't cry. You know, get up, brush yourself off, which you do. But there's that emotional piece that's in there that was never acknowledged.
Yeah,
right?
like you might be hurting, you might be scared, you might be...
Right.
You might feel flight, you might have to run, and you're not allowed to do that. You would be bullied if you did that.
You would be bullied, you would be, degraded, you would be made fun of, you'd be called names, and you'd be called...
A queer
or a little girl.
Right.
Right? So it's... Not only am I learning that I'm not allowed to feel, right,
mm-hmm.
that part of myself, but when I do show it, now I'm being shamed for it.
Yep, got it.
And it's rampant in the world. It's rampant in the world. It happens all the time. It happens everywhere. And we've learned to do it to ourselves.
Well, except I've found with Italian men, I'm sorry to do this, I have to do it. You have Italian in your bloodline.
I do, I'm 50%, yeah.
When I was in corporate America, whenever I was working with or for a vice president who happened to be Italian, like he, whoever he was, had a lot of emotion.
Yeah, sure.
So there's permission in Italian culture for... Men, maybe Latin culture in particular, mm-hmm. for men to be a little bit more emotional. But then there's also a lot of drama.
Right.
But that's the only place I understand. Men are cut off and then they have these heart attacks. Their heart attacks them.
Yep.
For lack of feeling, for not paying attention to it.
Yeah. Not emoting. You're not allowed to emote. And when you're in your heart space, When you can't be, or you're taught to not be in your heart space, which is the emotional space in the center of the body, you can't emote from there. It clogs up.
Yeah, and you get the plaque in your arteries and all that stuff that they try to blame on physical causes, but a lot of it is emotional.
Yeah, a lot of it is emotional. Absolutely.
What do you think? Well, how does this connect to prostate cancer?
To prostate cancer?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a good question. You caught me.
I stumped you. No, that's
all
right.
You stumped me on that one.
No, that's okay, because I think I'm going to say something about it.
Please do.
So men also aren't allowed to acknowledge that they have an anus.
Got it.
Because if they have pleasure in their anus, then they're also queer and they could be outcast and bullied. So they deny that they have it, and that happens to be where the prostate is.
So,
you know, the prostate is up there.
It's up there.
In that place where the sun don't shine.
The sun does not shine where the prostate is. No, the sun can shine where the prostate is, but it's not allowed to.
Right.
It connects to the prostate in the way of that's a pleasure center for men.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot, I mean, for some men, it's not. For some men, it can be a painful
piece. It's a developed taste.
It's a developed thing. I would recommend finding out. Instead of just putting the shield up and saying no, I would recommend finding out so that you know. And that for me has been a lot of my journey with Tantra, is trying out all these things that I'm learning about, you know, finding out about myself. But with the prostate, it's an erogenous zone.
Yeah.
It's an erogenous zone.
And if
we
disown it, then it also attacks us.
Right. It can
attack us. That's my thought about it. So
prostate cancer. Sure, absolutely.
It was a trick question. I just...
It was... It's a good question. It's definitely a good question.
It's important.
If you're free and your energy can flow and you're okay in your body and with the ebb and flow of emotion and of picking yourself up after you get hurt and being able to emote after that, and that flow is happening between your heart and your prostate and your pelvis and your sensual areas, your sex center, life can be amazing.
So what you're actually talking about is connecting your masculine, the part that gets up and picks itself up and can move on, and the feminine, which is the part that can emote and go. You mentioned flow, flow with all these different parts of yourself.
Yeah.
That's taking from the feminine.
Yeah, the ebb and flow. It's being able to be present to who you are in that moment, in that space, and ebb and flow through the different archetypes. And there's so many more archetypes. I recommend just looking into the term and looking into what they are. And if you'll notice, by definition, once you start reading them, you ebb and flow through them throughout your day. And it can help you kind of pinpoint your life and learn more about yourself and how you're carrying yourself in the world.
That's excellent. That's really excellent.
So masculine, feminine being kind of the primary ones that we dance with.
So I can actually talk about myself and say that there wasn't any safety in my house growing up. My father was not a safe space. He was an invasive space.
Yeah.
He was very in the flow. I mean, he could dance and paint and sing and knew some of his feelings, but he was an invader. And so I, as a little girl, didn't feel like anyone was keeping a safe space for me. So I developed a masculine that overrode my feminine. So I started to be like a tomboy. I started to be like a fighter.
Sure.
I was like, I'm like a New York City tough girl.
Yeah.
And I had to learn, just like you had to learn. Interestingly enough, I had to learn to let the feminine flow into me and to be safe enough to let my feelings flow and not worry about being attacked or bullied or whatever. Of course, it wouldn't be the same for me because I was a girl, so it was expected of me to have those feelings. But the feminine to me always meant manipulating men.
Right.
My image, I wasn't told there was an archetype. I wasn't told there was a healthy aspect of it. So for me, I always looked at these women who were needy, and they always got men to ride in on white horses and rescue them.
Right.
I was never going to be that.
That's the unhealthy feminine. That would be considered unhealthy feminine. Just the manipulator and...
Victim.
The victim, which is a manipulation.
Yeah. So yeah. I wasn't going to be that. So it was more comfortable for me to be like a dragon slayer. To go into corporate America and to like be really powerful and somewhat angry. And when I first heard about the goddess Kali, all of a sudden I could buy into that piece of the feminine, like the destroyer part.
Yeah.
I didn't have to be masculine in that. So that was the first time I learned about, there's a piece of the feminine that I embody. I actually do embody it. And then I had to learn about other parts of it, like parts that were like totally fun and totally in the flow. And it's like I had to grow up a little girl who stopped being a little girl around 3 and a half. Right. I had to go back and find her and say, it's okay, little girl. You can come out and play and you can be super feminine too.
Right.
You can have your flow of your feelings and you can communicate and you don't have to manipulate.
Right.
I thought that was the only choice.
Manipulation. If that's what you're taught and that's the environment that you're in, and there's not that nurturing space for your little girl to come out. And I want to point out, little girl is another archetype, just like little boy. And it's just a way for you to get an idea of what's happening. And so many of us lose connection to those places, to those things. We lose connection to the little girl who wants to come out and play and be feminine and dress up like a princess.
Right.
And
wear a little crown and tiara.
Right. And there's, you know, there's the little boy who wants to come out and he wants to play battle and play war and play in a sandbox and build a sandcastle or go to the beach or whatever it is, you know.
He wants to really wreck things.
Right. Wants to build the sandcastle and then stomp on it, right? That. And
we've made all that wrong. We've made so much of that wrong.
There's something that happens when we step into the world and it's... I don't want to call it a rite of passage, but in society it almost feels that way. But there's something that happens where we leave these things behind. When we go from childhood into adulthood.
Mm-hmm. But whenever some of us never had a chance to have those even in our childhood. That's what I'm...
Exactly.
You know, sounds like that's what you're saying. That's exactly what I'm saying too.
Yeah.
Like unless you had no choice but to build sandcastles and destroy,
right,
you didn't have a chance to say, I got sand in my eyes and I'm scared, or somebody held me underwater and I'm scared, right, daddy or mommy, mm-hmm, and they wouldn't bully you or shame you because you were scared underwater or something.
Right. Well, you get, that's actually, it's funny you bring up that example, because that's happened.
Well, we both grew up on the East Coast, I knew you were in the ocean.
And we, you know, older brothers, older siblings. And,
yeah.
You know, you get in the ocean or you get in the, you know, in a pool or something and you get held under the water. And yeah, no, I actually literally got blown off when I went to the parents and said, hey, he did this, or, you know, oh, you're okay now.
And yeah, there's like no, you shouldn't allowance have any feeling about that.
Yeah, there's no allowance for the emotion. So it's like, oh, I'm supposed to be okay, but I don't feel okay. But right, I'm okay. And I just learned to be that way.
You swallow it.
Yeah. It's such a subtle thing.
Yeah. I'm going to scream. It makes me want to scream and howl.
Right? There's such a subtlety to it. And I mean, and that might be where a lot of people miss these ideas, is that in that subtle energy of buildup over time, where we lose touch with the ability to ebb and flow between the energies and the archetypes of masculine and feminine and what that is.
Yeah, I think, well, okay, so I want to bring this up, and then we got to take a break soon.
Sure.
But, you know, where I learned a lot about the masculine and feminine was by reading David Data.
Mm-hmm, sure.
So I'm going to just spell his name, because when I say Data, nobody knows what that means. So his name is David Data, D-E-I-D-A. I read the books about the masculine, mm-hmm, The Way of the Superior Man, Finding God Through Sex.
Yeah.
But then I read Dear Lover, and he speaks to women in Dear Lover, and he says, you know, your heart has hardened because your father didn't make things safe for you. And so you've had to just become like a little man in the world. And I'm reading this book on a boat on my way to Fire Island, and I'm crying. I'm just like, I'm hoping no one's looking at me. I'm going, ah, he knows who I am. I can't even feel myself anymore. I become like a corporate boardroom cigar smoking woman. And I'm just so freaked out. And I'm reading this. And David Data is the first person who I read who gave me permission. Like he said, if you want to have really hot sex, you have to be able to play with the polarities of the masculine and feminine.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, because I wasn't having really hot sex now with my partner. I felt like he was more feminine than me.
Yeah.
And probably that was what was in the way.
That's probably what was in the way. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, but I couldn't know that then. So I'm reading this book and I get a clue.
Yeah. And that's a really good clue.
It was a great clue. Yeah. I went, oh, I have to soften. Mm-hmm. I could still be a boardroom woman, but I have to soften when I'm in my private life. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought of that? Yeah. What a concept.
Yeah. That's brilliant. And I imagine after that, once you realized that and tested it out, that it drew his masculine out.
No, he didn't want to have anything to do with those paradigms. I asked him to please read that book and see what I was going through. He didn't want to. And so soon thereafter we broke up, but I was onto something.
Yeah.
I was onto something. I knew now how to fuel the masculine in a man that I was with, even though I would only select men who felt...
Right.
Who had some healthy feminine in them. I didn't know how to define all this stuff then.
Right.
But I knew
You can feel
I was on to something.
Yeah.
And I was on to somebody who could nourish in me that feeling of, oh, I have so many feelings, yeah, and I'm safe now. And I could nourish in him, like, I'm caring for you, I'm creating safe space, but I don't have to get stuck there.
Right, right. So the ebb and the flow. That's for me, I like to dance in that space. Mm-hmm. So I've studied and I've learned and I've felt into myself and kind of nurtured the masculine and feminine side of me. And now I can nurture that same space in my relationships with people. So I can sense and feel what's happening outside of me now because I have my own, I have my reference point.
Yeah.
And that's another tantric piece.
Reference points.
You have reference points for yourself and what works for you and what doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
And having that masculine feminine, especially in sexual encounters or intimate spaces with a partner. Oh my gosh. I mean, the sky's the limit when you can start ebbing and flowing in that.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. I mean, and in that space, if we want to go there, just the surrender to be able to be a man and to be able and to move from holding that space with a lover and then being able to surrender into my, what I will call the feminine archetype and allow my partner to step into her masculine and hold the space.
And take charge.
And take that charge and to be able to just let go as a man in that moment is the most amazing thing ever.
We're going to pause right there. That is like such a pregnant place.
Yes.
To stop. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to define a little bit more what it's like for a man to surrender. And this is big. This is a lot. Well, Tantra is about everyone receiving. So it's everyone learning to share the space inside them with their masculine and their feminine. So we'll be right back. As a sex and happiness coach, I understand that increased sexual participation intensifies sexual responsiveness and desire, as well as overall health and well-being. My experience with a Sibian has personally increased my sexual response, and I can now train women to use this machine to have peak orgasms as often as possible. I strongly believe this will add to their health and well-being, whether they have a partner or not. The beauty and the miracle of the human body is that it adapts and changes much more rapidly than people change their beliefs or their opinions. The Sibian can make any woman's body more resilient with each peak orgasm. Sibian is an amazing experience, often described as the Lamborghini of sex toys. If you're a woman and you can get yourself to look at Sibian, you should do so. It won't take away from your partner. It will only add. Trust me on this. I love my Sibian. Go to Sibian.com. That's Sibian.com. Or call 1-800-253-6135. That's 800-253-6135. And say Lori Handler has told you about Sibian. And by the way, if you do have a partner, ask about Venus for Men. That's Venus, V-E-N-U-S, for Men.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
You're listening to Sex and Happiness, and again, I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm interviewing Lance Cole, and we're having this pretty fluid conversation about the masculine and feminine, and Lance just introduced this whole piece about surrendering and lovemaking. This is the pay dirt right here.
This is it.
So why can't men surrender in lovemaking? Why do men like feel like they have to do everything? Do.
Well, I can speak about me.
Mm.
It's because that's what it is. I mean, we're men. We do things in the world. We go and we're busy.
You have to be that way.
Something to do. We're logical, naturally. It's like our native space.
Mm.
You know, this needs to get done. We're going to go do it. We're not going to like feel into it and, you know, anything like that, which is great. We might feel a little bit into it, but we're still going to go get it done.
But here's the thing, like, when you're in sex, you're supposed to also be the ones doing everything.
Bullshit.
Men were taught.
Bullshit. I'm just going to say that right now.
Men were taught that they had to make all the moves. They're the ones who get rejected all the time. They have to make the move to come over and ask for a phone number or say, can I text you later? Or would you like to be with me? Whatever. Men have to do all that and have had to historically. So how does a man go from that into surrender, like the woman takes charge? Like, that's a huge leap.
It is a huge leap. And I have a hard time answering this in kind of like a layman kind of way. This, for me, has been part of the journey and on my tantric journey, learning how to open my intuitive space and open up to what I'll call the universe and the energies of the universe, and allowing life to unfold.
Inside you.
Inside me, yes. Allowing life to unfold inside me while I'm creating my intuitive space and my intentions and pushing them out into the world, or releasing them into the world would be a better way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
So I create what's inside of me. I learn about who I am. I create my intentions from that space. And I let it go into the world energetically. I just say, okay, I'm out there, and I surrender, and things come back.
So that's you. Now you're talking like the law of attraction. You're talking sex magic.
It's a little.
I mean, it's.
Yeah, it's. Yes. Yes.
But
and
here's
no.
the thing. So.
That's the surrender piece, right?
Yeah,
so
but how
bridging
do you
that.
Do it.
Right.
It's
how
like,
do
how do
it?
You. How do you say? How do you go from I'm supposed to assert my manhood with a lover? I'm supposed to make all the moves. I'm supposed to decide when we kiss. I'm supposed to decide when we actually have intercourse. I'm supposed to decide when when she's wet enough, when she's aroused enough, when she's, you know, it cracks you up now.
It's cracking me up now.
But
yes.
How do you make the bridge? Like, how all of a sudden you go, I'm going to surrender. I'm just asking you for this little piece, like, so if somebody's listening to the show and they haven't got a clue, we just went from big boys don't cry to, you know, or they'll get bullied and harassed and name called or whatever, to the greatest piece, the greatest secret, like the real secret, the secret that they didn't write the secret about.
I love that. Surrendering to your partner sexually.
Surrendering to your partner sexually.
Right.
And experiencing the universe.
Mm-hmm.
How in the hell do you do that? First of all, how do you say to your partner, I'm going to surrender tonight, honey?
I mean, you can do that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're fluent in language of intimacy and you feel free enough to be able to speak it, I mean, that's, hooray for you. That's kind of where that's one of the places it starts, is being able to speak your truth.
Right.
In that space. How do you bridge?
You said
from,
like to experience something new.
Yeah. Introduce it. This is part of finding the voice, going way back to the beginning of the conversation. I found my voice through Tantra, so I'm able to express what it is in the moment that I want. I mean, when was the last time you were able to do that? That's a great question.
It's difficult for people.
It's extremely difficult, especially in a sexual or intimate space with somebody.
Yeah, because they're afraid they'll be judged.
Right. You're judged. I mean, that's what we've learned. That's what I learned.
Right.
I don't know if everybody has had, you know, not everybody had the same upbringing I did, but I learned that you get judged. Sex is wrong, all these things. And then it took me a while to get my voice back. And
yeah.
I finally did. How do you surrender as a man?
Yeah.
You take a deep breath and you feel into what it is you want and you make the request for it. And that would be the first step into learning to feel into what surrender is.
That's so good.
Because then you allow it, then you relax into it, then you receive it, whatever it is you ask for. But for a guy to be able to, in your brain, right, because we're all in our brains a lot as guys, to know what it is that's coming, right, because you just requested it of your partner. So you request what you want, and then you lay back and you just breathe and receive. But you're okay because you know what it is. And eventually, at some point, you'll be able to feel the energy when you're with your partner, and you'll just surrender without even having to ask.
And you'll be surprised by some of what you get.
Yes.
And that's even a bigger mystery of mm-hmm. the universe. It's
and this,
cool.
I will say this. This will increase in your body your sensations.
Your joy.
Your joy, your orgasm. And I don't mean ejaculatory orgasm. I mean body orgasm. And if you don't know what I mean, this will start to invite that if you choose this.
Right.
It will increase your pleasure, which is what this was. That's yes, pleasure.
So my definition of Tantra, coming back around full circle, is transformation through pleasure.
There it is.
It's not only expansion through awareness. It's mm-hmm. transformation through pleasure. It's like to shift your whole being and your whole world mm-hmm. by allowing and surrendering to your pleasure.
Yep. That's it.
And like, that was so wrong growing up.
Oh
that
God.
Was like, that was, our
pleasure?
Parents didn't know what that, you know, they know how to get pleasure by buying a new car or going on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they didn't surrender to pleasure.
Yeah.
It's so amazing. Now, you know, my partner, my main partner, I had to ask him, because he's like a control guy.
Yeah.
And I had to say to him, could I hypnotize you? After I did the hypnosis course,
yeah,
Hypnosis for Lovers,
mm-hmm.
you know, which is coming back to Phoenix.
Yes.
I'm taking it everywhere. I said to him one night, I request permission to hypnotize you.
Hmm.
And he said, I consent. I almost fell off my chair. I just went,
oh my goodness.
You do? He said, yeah. And I hypnotized him. He said, why do you want to do this? I said, I want to hypnotize you because I feel like you're missing a whole chapter of pleasure.
Yeah.
Because you're always trying to control everything and you haven't received.
Yeah.
And his life actually changed on that evening.
Oh, I imagine it did.
Like he didn't resist. It was the first time he trusted enough to just go, okay, you can hypnotize me. And I mean, I took him on a journey
mm-hmm.
of pleasure and it was really fun.
Oh,
that's beautiful. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And he got into the feminine. He received. And he said to me, I don't know what happened to me, but it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then
Space. It's an amazing space when you can do the hypnosis. The hypnosis for lovers, I went through it. And when you get there, I recommend the course. I'm just going to say that. I'll leave it at that.
It was a beautiful space. It was really fun. But it's a lot. So let's just wrap up. Like, what nuggets can we give people so they can, well, I want to say one more thing that is my masculine and my feminine married themselves.
Yes.
About 6 years into Tantra.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't know that was going to happen. Nobody told me to expect that. It's just something
right.
like all of a sudden my feminine had a big enough presence inside me and wasn't being shamed by me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my masculine could relax a little bit and my feminine could like flow more.
Yeah. It's a journey. Yes. That same thing happened to me. I would say 4 or 5 years ago, it happened to me.
Mm-hmm. So what nugget can we give people? What, like when we've given them a lot of invitations on this show, mm-hmm. what's the nugget we can give them? Like where either can they look or what can they do or what, you know, how can we direct them to like actually do something at home now?
Oh, how could we direct them? Well, if you have a partner, you can sit with your partner. And if you're listening to the show, I imagine you're doing some form of tantra reading, or you're looking, you're seeking in some way. So you can just do some breathing exercises with your partner and just breathe into feeling what it feels like to actually intuitively hold the space. If you're, you know, a native man, if you're a man and you're holding a masculine space and your partner's holding the feminine space,
switch. Then
switch and just do it gently. Just do it gently with each other and just feel the energy between the two of you and how it shifts in yourself and with your partner. And I would say that would be a way to begin to kind of get an idea of what it feels like.
That's great, Lance. Thank you. Thanks so much. There's so much we could say on this.
You know, we could talk about this for 5 shows or 6 or 7
right.
shows.
And also we do a lot of work on it in the ISTA training.
Yes, so, there is a lot of work in the ISTA training around masculine and feminine.
And it's the piece where people get the most hung up because they want to say, no, you mean men. No, you mean women. No,
right.
We don't. We need we mean the archetypes.
Yeah.
And we mean identifying the parts that you've been forced into mm-hmm. versus the parts that just want to be there and flow.
Yeah, that's
so,
it.
It's great. So, Lance, how can people get in touch with you if they want more information about you?
The simplest way is to just catch me on Facebook, Embodiment Relationship Coaching. That would be the simplest way. And then I'm available for local session work and for Skype session work as well.
Okay, good. And then you're also teaching Bliss.
I teach Bliss. You can find me through Butterfly Workshops. We're doing the Bliss program in January 14th.
And you also can be found through Just Add Skill.
JustAddSkill.org.
Okay, great. Yeah. So thanks for being my guest today, Lance.
Yeah, thank you, Lori, for inviting me.
My
this
first
great.
Show of 2018. I'm
I love
thrilled.
It. It's the kickoff.
Yeah, it's great. All right, so everybody out there, thank you so much for listening in today. I couldn't do this show without you. I'm in gratitude. I'm grateful that there's you, that you listen to this show, and I'm grateful that I get to do it, and I learn every single time. So please tune in next time when I will have another amazing guest. I have quite a few on my lineup for the new year, and I'm excited, so hopefully you'll be back and you'll be just as excited as me. Thank you so much. This is Lori Handler signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Lori and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Oh.